محمد الهادي البشير قد جاءنا حق النذير.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله وسلم على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. Today's topic is the attribute of forbearance, حلم. Forbearance means that when one gets angry, one has the ability to restrain one's anger. One doesn't release one's anger onto those who one is angry at. Forbearance is a quality that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He praises in the Quran. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran, He describes Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam as being awwahun khadim. Sayyidina Ibrahim, he called out to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he, when people wronged him, he forgave them. When people insulted him, he didn't respond in kind. This hilm was also a quality of his son, Sayyiduna Ismail alayhi salam. And both of these are ancestors of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in the Quran that he gave, فَبَشَّرْنَاهُ بِغُدَامٍ حَلِيمٍ, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He gave Sayyiduna Ibrahim the good news of a son, of a young son who would grow up to be a young man. And he was halim. He was slow to anger. He didn't become angry. When he became angry, he didn't release his anger. And the scholars, they say that one of the signs of his hilm is that when his father told him that he wanted to sacrifice him, he responded with complete submission. And there wasn't any response such as, why me? And why are you doing that to me? Which is the opposite of the response of someone who has the attribute of hilm. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he inherited this attribute from his great, 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 great grandfather Sayyidina Ibrahim and from his son Sayyidina Ismail. And he was the most forbearing of people. There's many incidents from his life. A famous incident is that a Bedouin came to him. Bedouins are known for not being polite, not having good manners and being rough and gruff. So he showed up in the city of Medina, and he came and he pulled the upper garment of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. جَاءَ أَعْرَابِيٌّ فَجَبَذَ النَّبِيَّ sallallahu alaihi wasallam بِرِدَائِهِ جَبْذَةً شَدِيدًا. He pulled him severely. And Sayyidina Anas, he says that he was walking with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam when this happened. He pulled him severely, and he says that he pulled him so hard that it left a mark on the shoulder of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam because of the severity with which he pulled his upper garment. So he pulled it in order to get his attention. And then, so the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the messenger of Allah. He's the most beloved to Allah of all of his entire creation. He's the ruler of Medina. An Arabi, a Bedouin shows up, and he pulls them in this rude and rough and gruff way. And then he said, Ya Muhammad, murli min malillahi alladhi indak. He said, Oh Muhammad, command the people under your charge to give me some of the wealth of Allah that you have. It's not your wealth, it's the wealth of Allah. You're responsible for spending it for those in need. I'm in need, give it to me. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he turned, فَالْتَفَتَ إِلَيْهِ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ ثُمَّ ضَحِكَ ثُمَّ أَمَّرَ لَهُ بِعَطَائِنْ. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he turned to him, he looked at him, and he laughed, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He didn't show any signs of anger. He didn't show any signs of irritation. And then he commanded someone to give him what he had asked for. And there was no revenge, no punishment for being insulted, for being treated in a rude way, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. There's another situations like this are many from the life of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Despite the fact that he was a messenger from Allah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent him to all of mankind. This is a higher rank than any of us can imagine. And he's walking as God's messenger, and people, but he behaved like he had humility. He behaved like a normal human being. And so he would borrow things, and people would ask for their things back, and they wouldn't be polite. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he was once walking, and a man came. أن رجلا أتى النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يتقاضاه, seeking back the money that the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم owed him. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم owed him a number of camels. فأغلظ, and he was rude, and he was rough, and he was gruff, and he didn't respect the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, and he was so rude that the companions, they wanted to jump on him and punish him and beat him for not respecting the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Da'uhu, fa inna li sahibil haqqi maqalan." He said, "Leave him, because verily somebody who has a right, he has a right over me. He has a right over me that he be paid back. He has the right to speak. He has the right to speak his mind and ask for what he's asking for." And then he said, ثُمَّ قَالَ أَعْطُوهُ سِنًّا مِثْلَ سِنِّهِ. So he had taken a camel. And camels, they have different values depending on their age. So an older camel is more valuable than a younger camel. So the Prophet ﷺ had borrowed a camel that was younger, and they looked around to give him that camel back. And they said, "Ya Rasulullah, la najidu illa amsala min sinnihi." They said, we can't find any camel except one that is older, that has a higher value than the one that you owe him." And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "A'tuhu fa inna min khayrikum ahsanukum qada'an." He said that give it to him, because verily among the best of you are those who repay what they owe with excellence. So it's a sunnah when you owe somebody something, that you pay them back more than you borrowed. To stipulate it as a condition in the contract is interest, it's riba. But if it's not stipulated, to voluntarily give more is a good thing. It's a good deed, and that's what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he did over here. The companions, there's many hadith that related many incidents from his life where the mushrikun, the polytheists, they hurt the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They harmed the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. In the Battle of Uhud, they broke his tooth. They caused him to bleed. And the companions, they asked him to make a prayer against the mushrikun who were fighting against him. And he said that lam ubath la'anan, I wasn't sent to as somebody to curse people, to condemn people to the hellfire, but I was sent as a rahmah, I was sent as a mercy. And when the mushrikun would harm him, he would say, Rabbi ighfir li qawmi fa innahum la ya'lamun. He would say, "Oh Allah, forgive my people, for verily they don't know." This happened on many occasions. It happened in the incident of Ta'if. It happened later on as well. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, there's the famous incident with Sayyiduna Anas. And Sayyiduna Anas, he served the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam as a child. And he said that he served the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam either for 7 or for 9 years. And he said that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam never got irritated at him. This shows his forbearance. He never did anything, and then he said that, why did you do this, or why didn't you do this? Once he sent Sayyiduna Anas on an errand, and he got busy playing with other children, and he didn't complete the errand. This tells us that he knew that he could get away with it. He knew that when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told him to do something, he wouldn't get in trouble. So he went and he started playing with the kids. And the Prophet ﷺ came him, found him, He took him, he told him, oh, he, and I say that Anas looked at him, he was smiling at him, and he said, oh, Anas, go do what I've commanded you to do. And he went and he did it. And this too shows that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he was forgiving. He didn't impose himself on other people. He had forbearance. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, his forbearance extended to all people, even especially to his enemies. And so there was a Jewish lady who tried to poison him. Imra'atan Yahudiya atat Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam bishatin masmuma, and tried to poison him with a sheep, and he ate from it, and it said that this was the reason for his death. It's displayed a role. There's something, the effects of that poison lasted until the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam passed away. But after this lady, she did this, they asked her, he asked her, why did you do this? And she said that, I wanted to test if you were a prophet, and it turns out, and that if you were a prophet, you wouldn't be killed, otherwise I would kill you. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he forgave her. So the forgiveness of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he forgave the people of Mecca when he entered and he conquered Mecca, and this is a time when he was able to take revenge at Fath Mecca, and this is when they say that hilm, forbearance, shows the most. It's when you have you're angry and you have the power, use your anger to get back your rights, because the person your opponent, he's weak, he's incapable, you have power over him, and to forgive at this time, it's the greatest manifestation of hell. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he forgave them all. Abu Sufyan, when he was in these final days, he was refusing to accept the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam as the messenger, despite the fact that he knew it, and the Prophet was being patient with him. The companions wanted to kill him, and he eventually he said that has not the time come for you, O Abu Sufyan, to become Muslim? And he said, Ma ahlamaka ya Rasulullah. He said, how forbearing you are, and he accepted Islam. So this was a character trait of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and was part of his beautiful character. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless him and give him peace. If you have any questions.
MashaAllah. كأنه في مقولة هناك تقول الحلم سيد الأخلاق.
There's a saying that hilm, forbearance, is the leader, it's the master of all good character.
صلى الله عليه وسلم. صلى الله عليه وسلم. كل هذه المواقف التي يعني ذكرتها كانت من ورائها إسلام من أسلم من هذه المواقف.
And that all of the situations that I mentioned, they led to the Islam of the people who they accepted Islam. This is why they accepted Islam. They didn't accept Islam because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he won a victory over them, but because of his forgiveness and his forbearance.
وقال العلماء كمالات الحبيب صلى الله عليه وسلم تكاد لا تحصى ولا تعد، ولكن ما امتدحه اللحق في كتابه العزيز إلا بقوله وإنك لعلى خلق عظيم.
The scholars say that the perfections of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam are innumerable, but the greatest praise that he received was in the Quran, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said to him, verily you are firmly characterized by a tremendous character.
صلى الله عليه وسلم هو أكمل الخلق في امتزاج وصفه بوصف الحق. كان وصفه القرآن.
So he is the he is the most perfect of creation, and the closest of them in having the character traits of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is merciful, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was merciful, and Allah is forbearing, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is forbearing. His akhlaq were the Quran.
نحن أمرنا بأن نتخلق بأخلاق الله تعالى. ورسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم هو سيد المخلوقين تخلقا بحضرة الحق تعالى.
We've been commanded to acquire the character traits of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the best and the leader and the master of those who acquired the character traits or imitate Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in his beautiful character.
فمن أكرم بالحلم الذي هو سيد الأخلاق وأكرم بالأخلاق فهذا فضل وعطاء من الله سبحانه وتعالى لا يوازيه عطاء.
Whoever is given the gift of forbearance and the gift of good character, then this is a gift that there is no greater gift that somebody can receive than this one.
ما أدري هل أتيتم على رواية الأعرابي الذي كان له دين عند رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم وقال أخذه من تلابيبه وقال يا بني هاشم أنتم قوم مطل.
لم أتي على
أخذ بتلابيبه بين أصحابه وشد على رقبته الشريفة وقال يا بني هاشم يا بني هاشم أنتم قوم مطل. هو جاء يأخذ الدين قبل وقته وجاء مختبرا للنبي صلى الله عليه وسلم فرآه سيدنا عمر فغضب وأراد أن يبطش به قال ما هي عمر ألا أمرته بحسن الطلب وأمرتني بحسن الأداء أعطه حقه وزده لأنك روعته.
The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, once he was amongst his companions and in front of them, and a Bedouin came and he took him by his collar and he pulled him roughly and rudely and gruffly, and then he said, "O descendants of Hashim, descendants of the Muttalib, you are late in repaying your debts." And he came before the time of the debt being due. He came early, and he came and he spoke to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in this way. And he was doing this in order to test the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So Sayyidina Umar, who was present, he wanted to punish him, to take hold of him. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told him, he said, "Relax, O Umar. Why don't you, what you should do instead is you should command me to pay him well by repaying in advance, and you should command him to have good to be kind and polite in the way that he asks for his repayment." And then he commanded that he be repaid, and he said that he should be repaid more, because Sayyidina Umar frightened him, and so he got his repayment and then a compensation for being frightened by a companion of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam.
وقدر كمال المرء بقدر تأسيه بأخلاق الحبيب صلى الله عليه وسلم وراثة من حضرته صلى الله عليه وسلم في هذه الأخلاق. ولذلك يكون وارثا محمديا.
The rank of somebody is commensurate with how much he follows the character of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and acquires the character of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And somebody who is greatest in following the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in his character is a Muhammadan inheritor. He's somebody who has inherited from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam.
ذكر لنا سيدنا الشيخ عبد الرحمن رحمة الله عليه عن الشيخ الهاشمي، وذكرناها في ترجمة الشيخ الهاشمي عندما جاء إليه عامل التنظيفات وأغلظ على الشيخ قوله: لماذا تضعون هذه القمامة في غير وقتها؟ والشيخ يقول: إن شاء الله لا نعود، إن شاء الله لا نعود لمثلها. وهو كلما تواضع الشيخ وأظهر حلما أظهر الطرف الآخر جهله على الشيخ، حتى خرج أحد الجوار جوار الشيخ الهاشمي ولاحظ هذا، فغضب على هذا العامل التنظيفات وقال له: أنت تقول للشيخ لا تضعون القمامة في هذا الوقت، والشيخ هذه ليست من بيته، هذه القمامة هي من بيت جيرانه، وهو لا يقول أن ليست من عندي، هو يقول: إن شاء الله لا نعود لمثلها، إن شاء الله لا نعود لمثلها. فاستحيا هذا عامل التنظيفات بعد هذا الحمام الذي حمم فيه الشيخ الهاشمي واعتذر منه.
في الأخير قلتم استحيا من الحمام. لا ما
لا مستحيا من الحمام، استحيا هذا الموظف موظف التنظيفات استحيا من جهله على الشيخ. نقول الحمام يعني الذي أغلظ به على الشيخ، هذه الإهانة التي وجهها للشيخ. نقول فلان حممه في الأمثلة العربية، يقول فلان حممه، بمعنى أنه أكال عليه من الجهالة ما أكال. فبعد هذا الذي يعني وجهه للشيخ اعتذر منه وقال، لكن الشيخ كل هذه الفترة وهو يقول: إن شاء الله لا نعود إليها سيدي، إن شاء الله.
Somebody who had this prophetic inheritance was Sheikh al-Hashimi, and Sheikh al-Hashimi is the Sheikh of the Sheikh of is the Sheikh of Sheikh al-Rahman al-Shahuri, and he was a poor man, and he lived high up in a mountainous region of Damascus, and once there was a garbage cleaner who would go, he would go around and he would pick up the garbage from outside people's houses. And Sheikh al-Hashim was coming out of his house, and the garbage cleaner accosted him and started insulting him and attacking him and for placing the garbage in the wrong place. He said, "Why did you do this?" And he said, "Inshallah, we won't do it again." And then he kept on repeating and insulting him and saying bad things to him. And every time he would say this, Sheikh al-Hashim said, "Inshallah, we will never do it again." And until someone came out, a neighbor came out, and he said to the garbage cleaner that this is not Sheikh al-Hashimi, didn't even place that garbage there. And then he became very embarrassed at the way that he had spoken to Sheikh al-Hashimi, and he didn't do that again.
علما أنه طبائع السادة المغاربة أهل المغرب العربي يعني الجزائر وتونس والمغرب وكذا، عندهم شيء من الحدة، لكن هذا في الشيخ الهاشمي قد ذاب تماما. يقول لنا سيدنا الشيخ عبد الرحمن رحمة الله عليه، يقول أنه قيل لمغربي، قيل له: أنتم المغاربة كل شيء فيكم حسن إلا واحدة. قال وش هي؟ قال هاي.
He said that Sheikh al-Hashimi, he behaved in this manner despite the fact that the nature of the people of Northwest Africa, people from Morocco and Algeria, they have a, generally speaking, they have the harshness isn't the right word, but they have a, they're quick to anger, to get angry easily. But this attribute, it disappeared completely in Sheikh al-Hashimi because of his spiritual development and inheriting from the state of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And the teacher of Sayyid Munir, Sheikh Abdul Rahman, he used to say, he used to tell a story that someone was once speaking to somebody from Northwest Africa, an Algerian or a Moroccan, and he said to them that you people from Northwest Africa, everything about you is good, except one thing. And he got angry and he said, what is that? And he said to him, that's it.
ومرة ذكر لنا رحمة الله عليه قصة ربما يكون فيها تصرف من الناقل، لكن هكذا ذكرها الشيخ عدة مرات. قال أن الحاكم في دمشق ولى على حمص واليا، فبعد فترة جاء وفد من أهل حمص قالوا هذا الوالي الذي وليته علينا يعض. قال كيف يعض؟ قالوا والله هكذا. قال طيب أنا سأتحقق من ذلك بنفسي. فذهب هذا يعني القائم في دمشق، ذهب وحضر مجلس القضاء الذي فيه من ولاه الأمر في حمص، وحضر محاكمة متخفٍ لا يعلم أنه هو يعني السيد الذي ولى هذا القاضي. فقال جاءوا متقاضيان إلى المحكمة. قال القاضي ما الأمر الذي بينكم؟ قال أدنت هذا الرجل 100 ليرة ووعدني أن يقوم بوفائها خلال مثلا 6 أشهر مثلا، ثم مضت هذه 6 أشهر ولم يعطيني إياها، وهذه الدعوة التي أرفعها عليه. فقال له القاضي صحيح ما قال هذا المدعي؟ قال نعم. قال لماذا لا تعطيه؟ قال ما عندي. قال طيب هل تعطيه في الأسبوع 10 ليرات؟ قال لا أستطيع. قال طيب أعطيه 5 ليرات؟ قال لا أستطيع. قال أعطيه 1 ليرة في الأسبوع، 1 ليرة. قال لا أستطيع. قال 0.5 ليرة. قال لا أستطيع. قال الحاكم، قال لي من معه؟ قال له قل للقاضي يعضه أم أنا أقوم وأعضه. قال إذن هو لا يبلغ عنده هذا الأمر إلا وقد نفذ كل صبره. فقال إن لم يقم القاضي ليعضه أنا سأقوم وأعضه. يعني هذا القاضي نزل به إلى يعني أي شيء تستطيع فعله، وهو والقاضي يتحمل. فقال هذا الحاكم لمن، قال له قل للقاضي إما أن تعضه أم أنا أقوم أعضه.
ما العبرة في القصة سيدي؟
بس العبرة أن هذا هذا حلم، يعني أنت وجب عليك الوفاء منذ مدة ثم لا تفي، ثم جاءك القاضي يقول لك يقسط لك هذا المبلغ أن تعطيه في الشهر كذا في الأسبوع كذا، يحلم عليه يحلم عليه يحلم عليه يحلم عليه. وقد جاءت الشكوى إلى ولي أمره لهذا القاضي، فهذا ولي الأمر لم يستطع أن يتحمل بعد كل هذا الحلم الذي قام به القاضي. فيعني كم هو حلمه على هذا المدعى عليه.
And there's another story that Sheikh Rahman used to tell, that it's probably there's been some alterations and embellishments to the story, but the story is that the ruler of Damascus appointed a judge in the city of Homs, and people came and then complained to the ruler of Damascus and said that this judge bites people. People come complain to him and he bites them. So the man said he bites them. And so he went to investigate the matter, and he travels to Homs, and he disguised himself and attended a session with the judge. And so the complaint that had been, the case that was being decided was that someone, he complained that this person, he borrowed from me a certain amount of money, like $500 or 500 gold coins, and it's been 6 months and he hasn't paid me back. And so the judge turns to the person, to the defendant, and said, "Is this true?" He said, "Yes, it's true." He said then he said, "Okay, why don't you just pay him back $10 or 10 gold coins every month?" He said, I'm unable to." He said, "Okay, then how about you pay him back 5? He said, "I'm unable to." He kept on going down until he reached 1. He said, "How about you just pay him back 1 every month?" He said, "I'm unable to." He said, "Okay, how about you pay him back 1/2 every month?" He said, "I'm unable to." And the governor who was there in disguise, he said to the person beside him, will he bite him or shall I bite him?" Any questions? يوجد حديث فيه أن قالوا لرسول الله قيل عندما كان رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يقسم الغنائم فقيل له أنه لم يعدل. ف يعني لفظ الحديث أنه غضب عندما سمع هذا ثم صبر وقال قد أوذي موسى ب يعني أشد من هذا. فغضبه الذي جاءه أولا من أي باب جاء؟
من باب البشرية، لأنه أوذي أكثر من ذلك وتحمل أكثر من ذلك.
So I asked a question. There's an incident where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he was once distributing the spoils of war, and somebody complained and said that he wasn't being fair in his distribution. And the hadith says that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam became angry when he heard this being said. And then he remarked that Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam was insulted and harmed and more than this, and he was patient, and so the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam he suppressed his anger, and so he had forbearance. So my question was, I said that where what was, you know, how come the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam got angry. What was the cause of that? And he said that the cause was his humanity. So he was a human being. So when people insulted him, they treated him in this way, it was natural. The natural human response is that you become angry. And so he had a human response, and then he controlled that human response, and he had forbearance.
قل إنما أنا بشر مثلكم لكن لو نظرنا إلى هذه الحادثة وإلى غيرها من الحوادث هذه ليست كبيرة بالنسبة لغيرها لكن الفقير أراها ك يعني إظهارا للبشرية والله تعالى أعلم حتى لا يقال يعني أنه يعني لو أرسلنا ملكا لكان رجلا فهو يعني عليه الصلاة والسلام يعني أظهر بشريته في هذه لكن انظر إلى التي قبلها والتي قبلها وما فعل به وما فعل به كل ذلك كان يتحمله عليه الصلاة والسلام بغاية التحمل هل هذه الكلمة هي يعني أشد من تلك الأحداث؟ لا ليست أشد
So that this event, it wasn't that serious, because all that man said was that he's not being fair in his distribution of the spoils of war. And if you look at the other events that are reported from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, where he did not manifest anger, even though people they stoned him, they insulted him in much worse ways. They pulled him and his like leaving marks. They were rude to him. He didn't manifest any anger. So he says that he thinks that this was a place where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he revealed his humanity for others to see, and then he controlled it because the Prophet to show that he was a human being. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to say in the Quran that I am but a human being like you who has received revelation. So human beings, you can have the normal human emotions, but those human emotions are within the bounds of the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Anybody have any questions?
سامحوني سيدنا وضعي الصحي شوي يعني كان اليوم الآن جئت من عند الطبيب نسأل الله لنا ولكم ولجميع إخواننا العفو والعافية والمعافاة الدائمة في الدين والدنيا والآخرة.
So if everybody could make dua for Sidi Mubin, he just came back from the doctor. He's unwell. So
الله يبارك فيكم ويحفظكم إن شاء الله.
أكيد.
يرزقنا بحق لا إله إلا الله محمد رسول الله صلى الله تعالى عليه وسلم صلاة وسلاما تمتزج أوصافنا بأوصاف الحق تعالى وأوصاف حبيبه صلى الله عليه وسلم وتمتزج أرواحنا بأرواح حبيبه صلى الله عليه وسلم وصلاة وسلاما تمتزج نفوسنا بنفس سيدنا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وصلاة وسلاما تمتزج ذاتنا بذاته صلى الله عليه وسلم وتمتزج أنفاسنا بأنفاسه صلى الله عليه وسلم وذراتنا بذراته صلى الله عليه وسلم حتى نكون في النيابة إرثا عنه صلى الله عليه وسلم هذا الدعاء لنا ولكم ولجميع إخواننا ولكافة وعامة المسلمين نسأل الله أن يستعملنا جميعا كلنا إن شاء الله في التحقق بأوصافه صلى الله تعالى عليه وسلم. هل تترجم؟
He made a dua, and the dua that he recommends, inshallah, I'll write it at the bottom of the video when it gets posted on YouTube. He sends blessings and peace on the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and asks Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through this blessings and peace that our attributes mix with the attributes of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that our breaths mix with the breaths of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that our beings mix with the beings of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that our states mix with the states of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, so that we, and he said this dua is for all of us and for all of the Muslims, so that we can all be the representatives, we represent the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam.
انتهى سيدي؟
نعم.
سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك، أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت، أستغفرك وأتوب إليك. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. والعصر، إن الإنسان لفي خسر، إلا الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات وتواصوا بالحق وتواصوا بالصبر. اللهم اجعلنا منهم يا رب العالمين وجميع أخواننا، ولا تحرم أحدا من المسلمين فضلا على الذين عرفناهم، لا تحرم أحدا من هذا بمحض فضلك وكرمك وأحسانك يا مولانا.
He made a dua, and similar dua again at the end, and that it should be for all Muslims, reach everybody, let alone the ones that we that he knows.
لا نبخل بالدعاء على بعضنا بعضا وعلى إخواننا، لا نبخل. وكلما اتسعت دائرة الدعاء كان أقرب للإجابة.
And we shouldn't be stingy in the dua that we make for each other. The wider the scope of our dua, when we make a dua and make it for other people, then the dua is more likely to be answered.
كم نحن نحتاج في حياتنا إلى هذه الأخلاق فيما بيننا وفيما بيننا وبين غير أبناء ديننا. رسالتك أيها المسلم هي أن تصل هذه الأخلاق إلى من ليس من هذا الدين. ماذا يرى منك؟ يرى منك هذه الأخلاق، يرى منك الحلم، يرى منك الإحسان، يرى منك يد المعونة، يرى منك العاطفة، يرى منك الرحمة، يرى منك. هذا في الدعوة إلى الله أبلغ من المحاضرات الكثيرة. وهذا كان رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم بين ظهراني قريش، وسمعوا منه ما سمعوا، لكن ما المواقف التي أتى بعدها إسلام من أسلم؟ كهذا الأعرابي وذاك الأعرابي ذاك وذاك وذاك، هذه المواقف كانت سبب إسلامهم. فنحن بحاجة في كل زمان وفي هذا الزمان خاصة لهذا، أن تكون أخلاقنا موروثة من حبيبنا صلى الله عليه وسلم.
We are in need of having our attributes derived and our character traits derived from the character traits of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم in all times, but especially in our times. And the message of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that we deliver to people who aren't Muslims is a message of good character. And this is something that we are in greater need now than in other times, even though it's needed at all times. السلام عليكم سيدي نعيم، يقول السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.
سيدي نعيم.
سيدي نعيم.
ما شاء الله.
وأمي الصلاة يقول السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته يا سيدي، ربنا يكتب لك الشفاء الكامل والصحة والعافية يا سيدي. سؤالي هو ما هو السر في قراءة سورة العصر في نهاية المجالس يا سيدي؟
لأنها لننظر إلى ما فيها. أولا أن وقتك أيها العبد في هذه الدنيا وقت محدود، بقوله تعالى والعصر، أقسم الحق بالوقت، بالعصر بالوقت، وعندما يموت الإنسان تقوم قيامته. فنحن في مدة زمنية كدخول الطالب إلى قاعة الامتحان، فالرسوب والنجاح يكون من وراء هذه الساعة التي يكون في قاعة الامتحان. ونحن في هذه الدنيا كقاعة الامتحان الذي يكون في الجامعة والذي يكون في المدرسة، فيغتنم هذا الوقت بكل جزئياته، بالعمل والنية، بكل شيء يغتنم هذا الوقت. لذلك قال الحق والعصر، أقسم به.
So there was a question, what is the secret behind reciting Surat Al-Asr at the end of these sessions? And he says that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this surah, he swears by time, and our time in this life is limited. When we die, our day of judgment has come, and the time that we have is over. And so it's as though we are in an examination room, and the time is close for the exam to be over. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he swore by time in order to make us remind us of this fact.
قال الحسن البصري كما قال العلماء نقلوا عنه أنه قال أنت بعض أيام، كلما انقضى أنت أيام، كلما انقضى منك جزء من هذه الأيام انقضى بضع منك.
سيدنا الحسن البصري used to say that you are a number of days. That's your reality. You are the time that you live. And every time when some of this time leaves you, then a part of you is gone.
ثم بعد أن بيّن قيمة الوقت بقوله تعالى والعصر إن الإنسان لفي خسر، أن الوقت مجرد الوقت، قالوا العلماء يستهلك الإنسان، مجرد الوقت، مرور الوقت يستهلكه.
Said that after swearing by time, he said that verily mankind is in loss. Scholars, they say that the mere passage of time uses up a part of a human being.
ثم استثنى الحق من هذا العالم الإنساني إلا قال أنهم وإن الإنسان لفي خسر، كل إنسان في خسر، ثم استثنى منهم إلا الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات وتواصوا بالحق وتواصوا بالصبر. تصبرني وأصبرك.
Then he made an exception for everybody being in loss. He said, except those who believe and do good deeds, and they enjoin one another to be patient, to be patient, and they enjoin one another to what is right.
تحملني على خلق الحبيب وأحملك على خلق الحبيب.
He said that urge and help him to acquire the character traits of the beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he does the same for you.
فختمت بها المجالس من عهد الصحابة إلى يومنا هذا. هذه السورة لأنها يعني بليغة في مفهومها وتعطي هذا الحياة من أولها إلى آخرها.
And that gatherings have been concluded with this surah from the time of the companions down to our present time, because it's a short, eloquent surah that's full of meaning and that covers our entire life from its beginning to its end.
يعني أنت أيها العبد خاسر إلا من آمن وتواصى الحق وتواصى بالصبر. هذا استثني له استثناء من الخسارة، وهذا ما نحتاجه كلنا إلى التذكير به، ليس في نهاية المجلس بل في كل وقت.
He said, human being are in loss unless you have these characteristics. You believe, you do good deeds, and you urge. There's mutual urging to patience and mutual urging to good deeds.
والحمد لله رب العالمين. جزاكم الله خيرا أنتم جميعا وجميع أخواننا، من حضر ومن غاب. وربما تكون، ربما إذا أجزلنا العطاء لمن غاب عنا من إخواننا، أجزلنا له في الدعاء.
So we should make copious dua for those of us who weren't present today.
ولمن وافقنا ولمن خالفنا.
And whoever agrees with him and whoever disagrees with him.
والله يا سيدي، والله يا سيدي، إن لم تجد في نفسك لأخيك عذرا أو تجد له في نفسك شفقة عليه، يعني فلتفتش إسلامك فضلا عن إيمانك وإحسانك.
You don't find in yourself compassion for your brother and concern for your brother, then investigate your Islam and your whether the trueness of your religion, of your Islam, let alone the trueness of your faith, of your Iman and Ihsan.
نسأل الله تعالى التوفيق لنا ولكم ولجميع إخواننا ولجميع المسلمين. والحمد لله رب العالمين.
صلي وسلم ربي وأنعم على المعلم نور العيون.